I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Did you guys see last week that someone tweeted us being like, do you guys drink wine during the episode? And I was like, does it sound like we do? Because we don't, but we should.
We should.
Yeah, we should.
Let's change this cup of tea.
Let's go, let's go, come on.
Let's be clear.
Shrine of Duty.
You're being interviewed today as a witness, not as a suspect.
The official, unofficial podcast.
My team will get to the root of anything.
Shrine of Duty.
Welcome to Shrine of Duty, the officially unofficial Line of Duty podcast. I'm Hannah.
I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Brendan.
This week we are discussing Line of Duty Season 5 Episode 2, and what an episode it was. Definitely one of my favourites of all time.
Absolutely, like it was jam-packed, full of tension and full of fuel on all of those conspiracy theories.
I loved it. Yeah, loved it.
Up there with the final episode of Season 3 for me, 100%. Before we get into the details, a few honourable mentions. Thank you to, I can't believe I'm saying this, Spotify UK.
Whoa.
Who tweeted on Sunday night, let the officially unofficial Shrine of Duty podcast become your inside man. I mean, Spotify Sunday nights are exciting enough.
Yeah, we nearly died when we saw that tweet. Thanks so much for the shout out.
Huge thanks to Emer McGlyser for the mention in the Sunday Business Post. What a ridiculously mature publication to get behind this
like
drivel.
So glam. Such a glam publication. And she's obviously like an icon.
A literary icon.
Absolutely. Oh my God, what a complete Aisling. Obsessed.
Very grown-up publication, as Hannah put it.
Yes, my mum was so proud. Also, shout out to everyone who's listened over the last week, had a crack with us on social, DM'd us, or emailed us a theory. You're all brilliant. There's some great theories on social there, some really juicy observations. We'll be reading out some of those mails a little later, but first, here's Brendan with a much-needed recap.
Oh, lads, the pressure of this part of the job, it's a lot, isn't it?
Yes, I'm dreading it.
As Rebecca said, it's like doing a thesis every week.
Every week. It's like doing the Leaving Cert, but like obviously not as daunting because we actually really like the show.
Yeah. Okay, so Season 5, Episode 2, recap.
I'm getting comfy.
And I'm going to like try and just keep this as pacey as I can, okay? So just to go back over it. Okay, so we open the episode with Kate and Steve identifying Manit Bindra's body. It's the same spot where Derek Hilton was found dead. Kate wonders if Hilton actually killed himself. She questions that to Steve.
Of course he didn't.
Ted heads to Hilton's replacement, Andrea, I think her name was. She asks for, Ted asks for like access all areas to investigate Operation Pear Tree. She agrees to that. A new boss fella who I think was called Robin, I had to rewind it like three times and he said his name really fast. He says he's been brought in to shake things up, says the extent of police corruption has been covered up for far too long for fear of losing respect. Cue Jill Bigelow.
Makeover sequence.
I know. So she's advising this new boss fella, who I think his name is Robin.
Rohan Sindwani.
Rohan, sorry. Thank
I wrote
you.
It down because we're terrible with names.
We are terrible with names. Okay, so Jill is now Rohan's advisor. She's got the new hair. It's long and brown. Gone is the blonde. Takes ages to make eye contact with Ted. Doesn't look up.
You could cut the sexual tension with a knife.
Sure, didn't he reject her advances a few seasons ago?
You guys prefer the brown hair. I know. No. We put up our first ever poll this week and I'm raging now we didn't do a Jill Bigelow hair poll.
We should have done. No, I preferred the other look.
Yes, so did I.
You know me, I love a blonde highlight.
Yeah. So, yeah, okay, so Ted's got the go-ahead to go and, to investigate Operation Pear Tree and seize all those files. Kate and Steve hear a recording of Manit promising to undo the wrongs she did on AC-12. Ted orders her red notice to be rescinded and tells everyone that Manit died in the line of duty.
It was iconic. But can I just say, right, I am very suspicious of Kate. I'm not loving her at the minute. But her and Arnett are listening back to those recordings and she goes, I feel bad now. And I'm like, well, not when she died.
Yeah, I know.
You feel bad now?
Yeah.
That's the whole sequence of them identifying her body and Ted getting rid of the red notice that had been sent out for her and declaring that she died in the line of duty. It was all very emotional.
I thought it was very emotional.
Yeah, because Ted had tears in his eyes, didn't he, when he was talking about it? And it's the first time we've properly seen him crumble.
Absolutely.
And I was like, oh.
He crumbled a few times in this episode, actually, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. It was emotional.
And I think that's the first time I can remember them saying line of duty since... season one.
Tony Gates.
Yeah. Yes. Tony Gates.
I can't remember being said.
So basically, Manit's kids and husband will get the compensation money. So, in a way, it's like it's also kind of Ted's kind of bending the rules a bit there as well, which I thought was interesting, but it's for the right reasons.
It's because the recordings prove that she only went there to get more information, so they can say that she was there as an AC-12 officer.
Yeah, and Ted wants her to be remembered as someone that was trying to do good as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, cracking on. Ted gets stopped walking back into his swanky hotel by DCI Mark Moffat, who used to work with Roz Huntley.
I smell a rat.
Having none of it.
Right?
Moffat.
Come Moffat.
Right. he's retired now, and sure isn't he only involved in a kettlebell business in the Republic of Ireland, as he put it.
Now, our local.
I was so thrilled with the shout out. But can you guys explain to me a kettlebell business? Like, is he like kettlebells from the gym?
Well, I think so. Yeah, because then wasn't there? Now, did I make this up in my head? Was there not a logo, or did we not see something later in the episode? And there was a shape of a kettlebell.
Is a kettlebell like...
The thing you swing.
No, I know what it is, but I thought it was an apartment. I thought it was property.
It's a property development.
He did mention property. Okay.
Yeah. It's something to do with property development. I don't know if there's just a kettlebell on the logo.
And kettlebell is the logo. So
okay, fair enough.
It's Hastings investing in a gym, fly fit in Dublin.
Yeah.
So basically he... being Mark Moffat, says to Ted, look, I know that you were one of the ones that invested badly before and lost a shitload of money. Mm. I'm now trying to make sure that all those people that lost money now can make their money back. I want to help you do that. Will you meet me for a drink? Ted says, I'll be back in a second. Now, we didn't see their meeting happen.
But we presume he does because he goes on later on to talk to the wife about it.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Moving on, Lisa McQueen, disguised as a nurse, calls to see Jane McCafferty. This is the officer who was shot in the ambush but wasn't killed. Do you remember she told John that she was initially
bedridden.
Dead?
Well,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Laid up in the bed, Lisa McQueen calls in as disguised as a nurse, threatens her into giving information about a police movement of guns, which leads us to... another ambush.
Yes.
Anything
ambush.
To be said for another ambush?
Guys, Lisa going into the house dressed up as a nurse. I mean, it just echoes The Dark Knight. Heath Ledger as a Joker dressed as a nurse. I was like, oh my God, when she was walking in. I couldn't stop laughing, but also, I was terrified. It was
terrifying.
Like a laugh of terror.
Did you cop that the OCG, that little blonde policeman outside the house, is in with the gang he's bent?
Yes, because he let her go up.
Yeah, I just
and John Corbett mentions it later on.
Yeah, yeah.
They're everywhere,
those bank.
So, John Corbett and the lads intercept a police convoy which is bringing guns to be destroyed. Watching closely though, Lisa McQueen hesitates at the last second. She suggests calling it off because the OCG is outnumbered.
Yeah.
John Corbett's like, no, let's go for it, we'll crack on. They shoot the hell out of the convoy, but not one person dies.
No
also,
casualties.
Are you about to say this?
I'm probably about to say this.
Right, you say it first then.
So one of the gang, Lee Banks, goes to shoot a police officer. John Corbett shoulders him out of the way.
Reefs him out of it.
Bashed.
And then when Lee questions him, he said, like, what are you doing? And John goes, well, he was about to shoot you. Well, he was also about to shoot him. So John shoots at that police officer but doesn't hit him once. The police officer gets back in the car.
That was
and
the first hint, wasn't it?
So yeah, I think it's the first time that Lee becomes suspicious of John. Yeah. And then throughout the rest of the episode, he throws him a few more curious looks. There's just a, you know, in their like gang headquarters, both Lisa and Lee just look at John in a kind of a, what are you up to here? Kind of
way.
John Corbett takes Steve for a spin in his car after holding him at gunpoint and handcuffing him to the back of the seat.
Someone on Twitter called that an acting masterclass from both of them, and I couldn't agree more. Like, it's absolutely brilliant to watch.
Such an incredible scene.
John says he's still undercover and not bent. He suggests that Alison Powell and Hastings want everyone to think that he's gone rogue. He asks Steve if Steve will investigate any intel that he feeds him.
I'm obsessed with the idea that Steve has now teamed up with John Corbett behind AC12's back. I think that is such an exciting prospect for the next four episodes, meeting up laneways and all this. I'm loving it.
Throwing coffee cups.
Throwing coffee cups down the lane. The thing about it is, though, right, with that situation, I know we kind of, it's revealed to us that John Corbett is claiming to be, you know, a goodie.
Yeah.
But I'm very... I'm still a bit sceptical about him at the moment. I'm like, are you a villain or a hero? Do you know what I mean? Because he's telling Lisa that he wants money, power and respect, and it's so convincing. And then he's like to Steve, oh, I'm as straight as an arrow. I'm carrying it all on my own. I'm like, are you just manipulating Steve to have him on your side to feed you intel because you knew that they were onto you? Do you know what I mean?
I'm just still a bit.
I think that his character is like a delicious onion. There's just so many layers. And I feel like we're going to keep seeing more and more layers. I don't think it's as simple as it's been laid out for us in episode two.
Sorry, go on.
I'm still looking at Lisa, though, going, she's like a double undercover, overcover something.
Absolutely.
She's not all she seems to be.
No.
And she says, maybe I will have this coming. She says at one point, that she has earned her time in the gang. She's like, you're only here a year. I've earned my place. She was there before he was.
Absolutely.
So was she an undercover officer before and then he was brought in to investigate her? I don't know.
And then she mentions Tommy Hunter as well.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know?
My God.
Yeah. Ted and the wife meet in a bar. He's mad for them to give it another go. She tells him that she's met somebody else.
Oh.
He's devastated. This is another point where he crumbles again in this episode.
Yeah,
she tells him that he has to sign the divorce papers that she's met somebody else. Now,
Somebody else.
Somebody else. Is it Moffat?
Moffat.
Now, I think it's somebody else. And I have a theory on that, and I'll tell you later.
We'll get to that in the theories, but my God, the Gammy Hotel became Heartbreak Hotel in that episode. It was very sad.
It did, didn't it?
Their hug where they were about crying was devastating, actually.
It really was. Lisa McQueen calls John Corbett to answer questions that are being sent anonymously over a web chat.
MSN Messenger.
Part two!
Was it MSN?
Oh, no. I just love it because it reminds me of being 13, being like, oh my God, sign in again and see if someone I fancy will write to me.
So they had the knockoff Tinder last week and the knockoff MSN this week.
All about the social.
So, I mean, I assumed that this anonymous person was whoever H is.
Yeah, top dog. Yeah.
Well,
he's giving the orders and he's calling the shots.
Yeah. So later in the episode, a shot of Ted in his gorgeous hotel room deliberately shows a laptop in the right-hand corner of the picture with a very similar-looking web chat
software,
opened.
Yeah.
But I mean, again, is it being made too obvious?
They slapped us across the face with it.
Yeah. They did. And it wasn't just like, oh my God, I noticed that. I was sitting in a room with two other people, with two of my friends.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, look at the chat screen. You know, it wasn't. It was almost too obvious. Yeah. It wasn't just a little like flicker in the background.
I think so.
Mm. Yeah, we're going to come back to that in our theories later on.
Okay.
After John Corbett tells Steve that Jay McCafferty is bent, AC12 monitor her house. When Lee Banks turns up to visit her in her sick bed, just to check how she's doing, AC12 raid the place, find an envelope full of cash in her bedside locker and arrest her.
She needs to have a word with her husband.
Yeah.
She's been shot. There is a policeman standing outside the door and he will let every Tom, Dick and Harry, an OCG member, up
it was
not
like
even
a
into
McDonald's.
The house. Up to the bedroom.
Yeah. All up straight away in
straight
the door.
This is another thing.
This is another thing that I'm still a bit unsure about John Corbett / Clayton.
Go on.
He told Steve almost, he kind of tipped him off with all that.
To set up your man who was
exactly, because your man's suspicious of him. But I'm like, are you still playing both sides, John?
No, you know me, I might be a little bit, what's the word?
Bias.
I know.
But no, I believe him.
But guys, that scene that he was on the phone to the wife and asked, could he hear the daughter sleeping? I mean, it was just...
My heart broke.
You could feel his character crumble or his facade crumble and it just felt so raw in that moment and it had no sound. It was just, it's incredible.
Remember we spoke about what good an actor he is at the start of this and you guys hadn't seen him much, but my God, you could just watch him all day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think the wife is probably going to come into it more as well with the hidden mobile underneath the was it
great
the
actress
board?
To Kate. She's thrown shade at Kate. She's like, yeah, you'd know you're undercover, selfish.
She seems to, oh my God, that was hilarious.
I was like, oh, that is a bit
she
personal.
She seems to be credited for the next four.
And Steve then was like, oh no, you know what she said earlier, that's not why your marriage went to shit for
shut up,
four
Steve.
Seasons of this show. Okay, so Jane is arrested, hurled out of that sick bed and thrown into the interview room.
Oh, reefed.
Are we ready?
Come on now, let's get to it.
Okay, so she's only being questioned by Steve and Kate. Mm-hmm. Why is Ted not in that interview?
Yeah, I don't know, actually. That's a really good point. Did you come up with that, Brent?
Yeah.
That's a really
I've deliberately
good point.
Not read any theories this week.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll give you a few in a few minutes.
Oh yeah, I'm dying for them. Okay, so Jane admits she was giving Corbett's gang information. She'd had an affair and was being bribed. So they'd CCTV footage of her in a car park, a pub car park, she deliberately said. And then I was like, now am I overthinking everything? But wasn't Dryden in a pub car park with Cardi Kirk?
Yes.
So who was she having the affair with? I don't know.
Are you even on Line of Duty if you haven't got gambling problems or have had an affair?
Yeah. I mean, shacking someone in a pub car park. She tells Kate and Steve about Lisa McQueen coming to threaten her, dressed as a nurse, but says she wasn't the person who first recruited her. At this point, the camera keeps cutting to Ted, who's pacing his office across the floor and staring in at the interview room.
You can feel the panic
it's
off him.
So intense, right? Kate goes, you know, for the purposes of the tape, D.I. Kate Fleming leaving the interview room, runs across the floor. Ted is staring at her.
He's like,
I'm sweating.
Yeah, we're all pacing
He's
at that
like, bitch,
stage.
You better not pull out me picture.
Right.
We knew where she was going.
Yeah, we did.
We
knew. She's legging it over.
Straight into that room that's got the wall of all the pictures of all the suspects that could be H.
Yes.
That's been up and down more than I don't know what. Right? So, we clearly see her take down pictures of D.C. Jeremy Cole. Dead.
Dead.
Dot. Dead?
Inflection.
D.S. Manish Prasad, who Lindsay Denton pinned up against the wall with her car.
Yes.
Was helping the police.
He
now
got immunity
gone rogue.
And now he's rogue, is he?
When did he go rogue?
We didn't see it. I think it was like the last time we'd seen him, he got immunity and he was given an interview. Did I not hear or read that he's rogue?
I'm not entirely sure.
I'm not sure. Okay. The last I saw of him, he was in a hospital bed.
Yeah.
Recovering and agreed to
possibly rogue could be making it up.
The other picture she took off the wall was Fairbank.
He is the one that Ted had
the handshake
with, and he was involved with the paedophile
ring. The one with the sideburns.
He's a liar.
With the mutton
pedophile.
Chops. Is that what you call them?
He's disgusting.
Yeah.
Mutton chops.
Yeah. And ACC Derek Hilton, also dead. She then goes to a drawer, so that's five pictures. She then goes to a drawer which is labelled current AC-12 personnel.
Who else rewound that bit? Because I had to go back. Oh, yeah. I was like, what does that say? What
slap does that say? Across the face with a jet.
Yeah. At this point, Ted is staring.
You can feel the stress emanating out of his pores, you know?
Rubbing the face.
Absolutely.
Kate brings six photos back into the interview room, lays them out on the table in front of Jay McCafferty. She then names them. She's going, KF1... KF2.
What's KF?
KF. You have to give each bit of evidence, I suppose, a code.
Code name.
So I don't know if she comes up with KF.
Remember, Ross Huntley was changing it around last season.
Yeah, there was KG13.
KG13 and 13.
Yeah, so KF. Yeah, I'm not sure. It's just the file name. Now, I, again, totally overthought this, but because when you listen to her, she lists off KF1, KF2, KF3, KF5 and KF6. You don't hear her say KF4. So I was like, but then when I watched it back, it's actually just the way it's shot. The camera goes outside of the room and looks back in and her mouth moves, but you just don't hear her say
it. Yeah, so you kind of see what Ted's seeing almost.
So calm down, Brendan.
We're all on edge.
So Kate tells Jane that, and this is the bit, so she's pulled out one picture of a serving AC-12 officer. But she then says the following thing to Jane.
Yeah, this threw me.
She says, in front of you are all six people pictured in front of you are known to be part of a network of corrupt officers. So that includes one serving AC-12 member.
Yeah.
She then asks Jane if she can see the person who recruited her. Jane points at one picture. We can't see who it is. Steve and Kate stare at each other. Ted is staring from his office. Everyone looks exasperated and I am done.
That was absolutely brilliant, Brendan. So well written.
Well done, Brendan.
Thanks.
Great synopsis. An incredible cliffhanger, but I was fuming. I was like, go on, just dip that camera down a bit so I can have a little look at the pictures.
Well, thankfully, someone on Twitter hopped on and made the most hilarious but the most informative, what would you call it, like graph?
Yeah.
Comparing the photographs from the board. And I love that they're like photoshopped like as they were on the board.
Yeah.
Like in onto the table. And what Jeb Mercurio did to us was basically Hastings, we're going to presume the file taken from the AC12 drawer was Hastings. We presumed that he was KF6.
Yes.
And that would be the last one because it was the last file that she took. But no, it wasn't. If we're going to go by this fabulous Twitter
spot
explainer,
yes,
she actually selected Dot's image.
Yeah.
Now, I have another thing to talk about this, right? And I've said this a couple of times. We obviously don't talk about how amazing Vicky McClure is enough on this podcast, I don't think, but it's because her character is so unlikable. That's my theory.
There is a mystery surrounding Kate, and I feel like I want to know more about her, and I just haven't been given that yet.
Like, you know the way we have our Lindsay Denton queen icon?
Queen.
Like, I wouldn't call Kate a queen.
No.
Amazing acting, but not a queen, and I've been suspicious of her for so long. And did either of you notice the look she threw Cafferty in this episode?
Yeah.
No, I didn't notice
she
that.
She looks down before Cafferty points at the picture.
So she asks her to
Which one do you want to pick? And then imagine you're looking at a table and I go to you, throw my eyes down real quick, and then she goes, oh, okay, six.
Yeah.
And she looks down at the one at the very edge.
Yeah.
And that is six.
Okay.
So I'm just putting that out there. I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know if it was a coincidence, if it was a bit of a red herring, but that look happened.
I always just thought that Kate was shit hot at her job, but upon re-watching it all, I think she looks shady as hell.
Her cover's been blown loads of times. Like, she's gone undercover and they're like, you're one.
Some of her mannerisms and the way she acts is very similar to the way Dot used to act.
I think the only reason she got the promotion over Arnett, and I'm rewatching season 3 at the minute, just finished it, she went to some woman, I cannot remember who it was, and asked for permission to investigate her own team in AC12. Do you remember this? So she was actually investigating Steve and Arnett, and she had to get permission from someone, I think it was like a ranking officer outside her jurisdiction or something like that. So she couldn't go to Hastings. So she was investigating this all behind his back. And basically that's what brought Dot down. She uncovered loads of information. So I think Hastings was so grateful that she had done that off her own back without coming to him. That he promoted her. But other than that, her cover has been blown every single time from stupid shit. And she just go in and be like, Mom, can I get you a cup of coffee? Mom, can I drive you around? Like, that's all it ever is. Like, just swinging out
the
people.
The thing about this theory is that for the first time ever, it was this week that I noticed a lot of people on Twitter suspecting that Kate could be bent. And here are a few different pieces of information that could point to this. She was friends with Akers, who was involved in the ambush that Lindsay Denton survived, basically.
Yeah.
So she was friends with Akers. She had the affair with Akers' husband, and she gave a dodgy look to Jane at the end of the last episode. The affair also makes her susceptible to blackmail. Also, this is something that has always unsettled me a bit. Why did Dot save her at the end of series 3? There was a kind of possibility that she was having an affair with Dot or something was blossoming because he was in her apartment and he tried to kiss her. Remember, she was like, let's take things slow.
Yeah
they didn't.
But she didn't say no. This is my thing. She goes, let's take things slow. He was bringing her flowers.
And who said at the end?
He threw a coffee up.
Him or her said that they regretted not doing it, didn't they? On that final episode of season 3, he said something along the lines of, oh, you know, I kind of regretted not, that it never happened. And she sort of agreed. The two of them kind of went, it never happened, but like both of us probably would have done.
Sometimes what I wonder is, was Kate recruited to finish what Dot had started? Fleming could be her married name. What is her maiden name?
Yeah,
does her maiden name begin with H? There's a lot that we don't know about Kate, and my mother of God, Ted seems so suspicious of her this whole season.
They are not vibing this season at all. Do you remember his we found H's Hilton party he threw and the look he threw and walking out of the lift?
Yeah.
Also, shout out to my sister who watched 4 seasons in a week came up with that theory about Kate's possible maiden name being H.
Amazing.
Shout out. A guy on Twitter called Celtic daft, or it could be Celtic daft. Okay, so he wrote this. He suspects Kate. Okay. We need to give him a follow back because this is a good point. She had an almost psychopathic disregard for her child while undercover all of those years. Did she kill the caddy to silence him? She was denied a promotion in season 4. Hastings has been pressured to promote her, and his looks of worry are always aimed at her in the series. Then Emma JW replied, and she said, she didn't have much remorse for sleeping with her mate's husband, and I've seen little to suggest that she's good at her job. How many times has her bloomin' cover been blown? Must be a double bluff. Does H stand for her instead of
a name? Oh, my God.
And on Twitter, another lad called Alan MacDonald says, Kate is the only member of AC12 to whom we've been introduced to who has never been under suspicion. What if she was chasing Dot to make sure that he died? He also brought up this point. Why was Jane Akers calling Kate? That was never explained. Mm-hmm. Akers was on the take, so why would she call a pal in AC12?
And also, do you remember that Rich Akers, the husband, knew all about Tommy Hunter and everything? He played dumb, but then AC12 brought him in for an interview and Kate actually sat in and she was really disappointed in him because he knew everything. So it's not as if she was just having an affair with someone that knew something, someone that knew something's husband. She was having an affair with someone with a direct connection to the ambush.
To the OCG, yeah. Yeah. So there are just a few points. Now, I absolutely do like Kate as a character. I think she looks amazing in navy this season. Whoever's doing the wardrobe, her hair is beautiful as well.
Yeah.
She is a strong female character, but she's complex, which is a really great thing. I think that we're only just scratching the surface of what's to come to be found out about her and her backstory.
Yeah, 100%.
Do you want to share the theory you have?
Brendan, are you stripping off?
Yeah, sorry, Brendan just started taking off his set.
Like, really slowly.
His shirt. Do you want to share your theory?
I wasn't trying to be sultry. I was trying to do it quietly. That's why I was stripping off slowly. It's got really warm in this studio.
It did get very warm.
Yeah. Do you want to share your theory, Rebecca, about...
What is it?
Kate.
Oh, okay.
I
was a writer on Line of Duty, okay, do you know the way they said that there was a couple of helmets involved in that ambush? I have the shot list written out.
Yeah.
So I can just imagine at the end of this season, there will be a flashback to that ambush involving
Lindsay Denton.
Lindsay Denton, your favourite person in the world, after myself and Hannah, of course. And I think that the shot is going to be of someone lifting a helmet off their head or putting the helmet on before they go into the ambush. And I think that that person is going to be Kate Fleming.
Yeah, because we had a conversation about this because I've been rewatching the seasons kind of slowly. And after season 2, I'm like, okay, so we're meant to presume that it's Prasad and Cole that did the ambush, but you never see either of those take their helmets off. And I was asking Rebecca, do we know for sure that it's them? Was it ever confirmed? And she said no. Tied this amazing Kate theory into it. And I just think that would be the coolest thing.
But they say that everyone died in the ambush apart from Lindsay, but we don't, that mightn't be true.
Yeah.
That might be the case.
Can we go back to Dot and a theory on him?
Yeah.
So first of all, I think it's fair to say that there's been a lot of talk this week online that maybe he's not dead.
Yeah. Yeah, so I have two theories on Dot that I'm going to kind of tie in together. So I think there is a good chance that he's not dead. I think that there's a possibility that the look that Hastings was giving to Kate through the window when she was interviewing Cafferty and Cafferty pointed to Dot as being the one that recruited her was a look of panic because he knows that Dot is alive, and that Dot got immunity like every other mental person in this season seems to get or show seems to get, that Dot got immunity.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Kissing knows he's alive. He's been protecting that for Dot's information. And Kate and Steve may have just stumbled upon, to use the words of Alison Pell, something bigger than them.
You know the way at the end of every season, it wraps up. You get the writing on the bottom of the screen and it tells you that such and such is retired, such and such is in
love
prison.
It.
Nobody turned up to Lindsay Denton's funeral.
So sad. I always think about that.
Like, we nothing was said about Dot.
No. Nope.
We were not told,
Brandon,
if he died or not.
And that is an unreal point. And also, Dot says during that season that he had been connected to the OCG for his whole life, really. So that's another thing that...
Here's another thing that I have on that right now. This is my own theory and I'm actually really proud of this.
Go
on. I think that Dot was in the Sandview boys' home.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the same.
Now... me, like the little detective that I am, I went back and found Waldron's photo.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that I learned this week. You can't screen grab Netflix. It screen grabs black. I was trying to screen grab
this. On
your
phone.
Yeah, so I could show you guys. But I found a photo and there is a lanky, tall, blonde boy in the front of that photo. Mm. Then I did some Googling. Craig Parkinson, who plays Dot, and the guy who plays Danny Waldron, I can't remember his name. There's about 2 years between them, but very convincingly have been in school at the same time. You know, Dot was very connected to the list. He was very connected to protecting these people that were linked with child sex abuse, which I know is unusual if he was affected. I think he's someone's son. I'm not going to say who because I don't know, but I think there's a possibility he's someone's son or there's a family connection and he was in that boy's home. And he said that he went into the police force. He didn't go into the police force and then become bent. He was placed into the police force to always be bent. So I think there is someone much older than him pulling the strings. And I think it goes all the way back to that whole Danny Waldron thing.
Yeah.
And that's again why I think he's alive, because I think this is going to come back and tie it up.
Also, this is another just theory that I've come up with. When Kate took Dot's dying declaration.
Yes.
You know, he couldn't even speak at that point because he was so dead, apparently, that he could only blink. She says blink for the first letter and she races. She's like A, B, C, D, E. She races. And to me, it's totally plausible that Kate could have just gone, oh yeah, he blinked at H. Because, you know, that would just fit her narrative for, you know, whatever story she wanted to spin. There's no visual proof of him blinking at H. He doesn't say anything.
He does I actually recently rewatched that, but he blinks, but he could be blinking at anything. Like he was essentially dying. He was shot. You know what I mean? He could have just been blinking because everyone blinks.
It was an involuntary spasm.
Exactly. It was literally so Kate, the H narrative did originate with Kate.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it did. And if he's alive and she is involved, she's screwed if he
is
comes back from the dead.
Is it H for herring? But was the H herring planted by Kate?
Also, Craig Parkinson was actually photographed on set of Line of Duty season 5.
Obsessed.
And we know it's season 5 because he's photographed beside Stephen Graham.
So is he in it?
Well, Jed Mercurio tweeted out the picture and said the caddy's back from the dead to plot more mayhem, but apparently they kind of put out into the press that he was just back to visit the set.
Okay.
Now, very plausible that he was back to visit the set in Belfast on a different island from the island that
Liverpool.
He lives on. Was it
Liverpool?
In Liverpool?
Yeah.
Okay. Plausible that he was there for the crack, but also equally plausible that the mastermind behind all of these lies could have put a lie out into the world that he was just visiting the set, when in fact he's very much alive and coming back.
And Jed tweeted that in October of last year, so he was trolling us before.
Well, he knows we're all psycho. Exactly. We'd be going back through. You went back through.
I did. I was like, where did that picture originate from? And it's almost like it's like, you know, people are like, maybe it's photoshopped, and then eventually we found the tweet. I saw someone.
It kind of makes me feel like Dot is dead though, because he wouldn't tweet like, oh, back from the dead. I feel for me now that's like, oh no, he is actually dead.
I know, but is Ted just double bluffing the bluff? You know?
Another theory I want to talk about this week is Jill Bigelow being bent.
Yeah.
She's an icon, isn't she? She's so sexy.
Not mad into the new hair now, Jill.
I don't know how Ted said no.
Seriously, he was a married man. He takes it very seriously to the letter of the law, Rebecca.
Sorry.
She's very attractive. Now, if you don't remember, she is the AC12 department lawyer from season 3. So she's not got the same job now.
No.
Because Ted threatened her.
She was kind of HR-y then, wasn't she?
Listen to these dodgy things she was doing when I watched it back. Right?
Tell us more.
She doesn't want anything to be uncovered, that one.
No, she doesn't.
She pressured Hastings into letting Waldron and his team go back to active duty, which resulted in Waldron's murder the very next day. She stopped.
Go on, Jill. Well done.
Well done. The AC12 lawyer. She stopped Ted arresting the team after Waldron's death, so didn't want an investigation into why he died. Mm-hmm. Okay, problem. She tries to get Hastings to hand over his files on Fairbanks to the official authorities. She basically says, you know, you're AC12, you shouldn't be like investigating child sex abuse scandals. And then she says, you can do it through me if you like.
Oh, Jesus.
Chill.
My God. So he kind of says, yeah, all right, love. Goes behind her back, does what he wants anyway. Then she comes marching into his office, throws the bucket and basically says, the reason I didn't want you investigating that is because we all know you're a Mason. You were in that Masonic Lodge with Fairbank and Dale Roach, which is actually really dodgy for Hastings as well as her.
It is.
Hastings says the individuals involved in the child sex abuse hired Jill so she has a leg to stand on and she can get out of his office, and if he's not lucky, she's getting him fired, or he's getting her fired. And another thing that she did in that season was gave Hastings a doctored file about Ronan Murphy, who was the very first guy that Waldron shot dead. Now, it turned out that that doctored file came from Doss and that he doctored it, and that was another dodgy thing that he did to cover it all up. But she still handed it. She is a lawyer. She handed it to Hastings. She is involved in all of this, and it just doesn't look very good.
And she said through...
And now she's back.
Yeah, she said through a number of seasons that she's like, oh, we know corruption's there, but we don't want to find too much of it in case, you know, people don't trust us anymore. And she basically said the same thing at the start of this episode as well.
And then I'm like, you know, is she almost a recruiter in herself? Because she wants to have the affair with Ted. And while Adrian Dunbar, listen, he is an attractive man, especially when he wears that lovely coat.
He's a very attractive
man. Do you think that she was almost trying to have the affair with them to have something on him that she could use to make him corrupt?
Ah. I wouldn't trust this one now as far as I could throw her. And when I seen her sitting in that office... when I seen her sitting in that office with the new hair and everything, I said, we're in for drama with her this season.
I'd say herself now and Alison Powell would clash. There'd be a clash of personalities there.
Two powerful female leads.
Either a clash or they're out for espresso martinis every Thursday. Do you know that way?
Yeah.
Yeah, watch that space.
Or maybe they'd be out for the espresso martinis and then have a clash.
Jill Bigelow's back with a bang and a lovely curly blow dry.
Yeah. What other theories do you have for us, Reb?
So you know the messaging software that was on Ted's screen?
Yeah.
That we were talking about earlier, MSN 2.0. Well, the thing about that software is some people are speculating that it is a Ted herring. Credit to whoever thought of that now. That's
honestly
class.
I nearly choked on Sunday night when I was looking back at Twitter and someone said that.
Ted Herring, incredible.
Iconic.
So someone on Twitter, actually, his name is A Ferguson 999. He tweeted about this, right?
Please.
I know, it sounds very... Or he could be a fan of Sir Alex Ferguson. Anyway, he says, in the two images, the messaging software on the left, which is... CryptConvo V3.2. Wow. It has a yellow icon for the connection and a red hang-up icon. The software on Ted's laptop does not have the yellow icon, just a red hang-up icon, and no green and red icons on the right. So what he's saying is basically it's not the same software. It's just Jed trying to throw in a Ted herring.
I love the people just stare at this so closely.
So do I. But you know what? I just think Jed... He's too clever for that, isn't he? He never lies to us. That's the thing.
No, he doesn't.
He'll give you a fact and the fact may turn out to be very true but doesn't matter at the end of it. But he never gives us lies just for the sake of...
And another theory, right, about Hastings is that, is he being set up? So Phil Garth on Twitter says, it's too obvious for Hastings to be H. That's not the writing style of Line of Duty. The retired Fed rep who was used to work with Roz Huntley, offering him... offered to help him with his debt is the first step of the real H trying to blackmail him and make him corrupt. And then he goes, is this it on Twitter? Someone else replied to this and they go, remember Jackie Laverty from series one, Brendan, you love her.
Icon.
Wasn't she involved in money laundering through the building development trade? How did Ted lose all his money again? Through a dodgy building development.
Jesus Christ.
We need to get cameras in this studio specifically on Brendan's face when he hears the theory.
So that was from Is This It on Twitter.
Well,
I couldn't agree more.
Caitlin Amy, I hope I'm getting your name right, sent an email from Australia. Go on. She says Ted has to be H. We already know he's having financial difficulties, so it makes sense that the OCG would have bribed him. If Kate is already DI, she'd be the first in line to replace Hastings if he goes to prison. I think Hastings will still play a big role in seasons to come because he'll have a lot of info, so he won't be completely written out of the show. We all love him too much for that to happen.
And there was that shot from the trailer of him behind bars.
Yeah.
Now, will I just float a theory I have here now?
Go on.
Go on.
I'll just put it out there. Is there a possibility that H is Hastings, okay? Or that H is the UCO and that planted right at the top to control the OCGs? And that computer, that login gets passed around different kinds of heads, top dogs in the police. Kind of like you're on call. You're on the computer tonight, replying back to them, letting them know, putting things in place, but always in control. That's what I think.
Yeah. Yeah, that's totally possible. What about H being Hastings or Kate or somebody, and that they are calling all of these shots and that officers have been killed, but that it turns out that H is actually doing bad to do good and that there is somebody above H again?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think it's going to be one of them where it ends up being Hastings or he's involved in some way. But like John Corbett, it looks so bad, but he's doing good.
He's doing it for the better, yeah.
We put a poll up on Twitter on Sunday night, actually, and asked you guys if you think Ted is bent. I think we had about 900 people responded, which is absolutely deadly. So thanks a million. 10% think he is as bent as they come. And 90% think not our Ted, never.
Yeah.
I know. I really hope it isn't Ted, but he could be involved in some
way. It's not going to be as black and white, I don't
think. Absolutely nothing ever is, my love.
So last week we questioned if Ted's wife might have been H. So this week when I watched and they met in the bar
another
to talk about...
Another gorgeous haircut.
Yeah.
Yeah,
to talk in the, they met in the bar to talk about the divorce. And I feel like her telling him that she's met someone new is not being left there just purely for divorce reasons. Who has she met? I think whoever
Moffat.
She's met. What about Nigel Morton?
Oh shit. And
God.
Him on the pension.
Yep.
He could wear her with a bit of cash.
So
and the dodgy leg.
And the gammy leg, I
know. Around with that stick.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Let off on a full pension and was last seen still taking bribes for information.
Selling information to the press. That was his whole
job. Okay, yeah.
He sold the story about Hilton's penalty points to the press.
Yes.
That kickstarted all
and
of that drama.
He still has that phone,
I
Hannah.
Thought he did, but
oh,
he
does
doesn't.
He not?
I thought okay. he did, but he doesn't.
So
I thought he had dot phone.
He's gone, but not forgotten. And the only bit of like quick Googling that
he's
I did online
right
this week.
Well.
Bob the Builder?
Have I got a problem?
Yeah, you do.
So the only bit of Googling I did this week was I went onto the Line of Duty website on the BBC.
Yes.
And they have like, you know, boxes of the profiles of like all the characters. And the ones that are still current are, so you know, you've got like Kate and Steve and Ted. And then you've got ones like Lindsay Denton that are shadowed out. And Dot is shadowed out as well.
Mm.
But Nigel Morton's one is still in full colour.
Oh, DI Brendan.
Sight.
Oh, have I been promoted from DS?
Yeah.
Did you like your golf tees, by the way, yesterday?
Oh my God. Walked into work this morning and I was like, oh, that's so weird. Someone has a letter on my desk. I don't get posts very often because, you know, we live in a digital world.
Let alone address to DI Rebecca.
So I looked at it, right? DI Rebecca Shackleton. I mean, I was a bit suspicious, right? As you would be, me and my detective skills. Opened it up. What was inside, Hannah, when you opened yours?
Oh, a golf tee. There are photographs up on the Twitter at Shrine of Judy if you want to see it. Look at him laughing to himself.
Anyway.
Thrilled. I thought you were dying for it to come in. Were you like a little child?
I was in the office before Hannah got in, so I didn't want to post it into our Shrine of Judy. I love that you're like, oh, shut up. You're in before me.
Because I know what it. No, because you're going to slag me off and not get the new one.
So I didn't want to.
Wait for it.
I didn't want to post it in the Shrine of Judy WhatsApp group to ruin it. Oh yeah, so I was like, oh, here, I won't ruin it on Hannah, but like I kind of knew straight away who it was just because of the handwriting, you know. Anyway, I looked through my notebook at my desk and I scrolled back a bit and I do remember a certain someone writing a few things in my notebook, right? I did a handwriting analysis of the two, a comparison study, and it was a 100% match. So didn't I text Brendan straight away? I said, ha ha ha, H, kiss kiss, you know. Anyway, so I knew it was Brendan straight away. Hannah got in the door.
So dope comes in then.
I mean, I was like to her, who else in this office loves Line of Duty that we talk to every week for an hour and release it?
My face is blank.
He was literally like, oh, I don't know who it would be. Maybe it's like, you're like, oh, maybe it's Gavin. I was like, doesn't even watch Line of Duty.
More chance of it being Gavin's dad.
My innocence went straight to, oh, how exciting. Someone's put it on all of our desks. So I thought you got one too, Brendan.
No.
But it just goes to show you can't trust anyone.
You can't trust anyone. Anyway, and Hannah had like a subplot. She was like, it could be this person who was here, blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
Thinking outside the box. Anyway, you got promoted to, what was it, DS?
DI.
Yeah, so I have to start calling her mom now because I'm such an idiot. It's ridiculous.
Go on, make me a cup of tea.
Oh, for God's sake.
Right, have we any more thoughts or theories?
We do have a few. Another person emailed us. His name is Lewis Bryant. He emailed us a like incredibly detailed email all about how Lisa is an undercover officer. So he wrote,
I'm here for this.
Lisa is being underestimated by everyone. She's a long-standing OCG member. She's, you know, she's getting abuse from her peers because of her gender, and that could explain the scared behaviour in episode one. She can lie through her teeth convincingly, as we have seen in the nurse's uniform. She's in contact with H on the computer.
I'm sorry.
Why are you laughing?
Sorry, Hannah made me a cup of tea before we started this and I didn't drink it, and then I saw it and I was like, oh, I feel really bad for not drinking it. And I picked it up and I went to sip it and she just looked at me and went, do not drink that, it looks disgusting.
Did it have a skin on it?
Yeah. It's absolutely got a skin. I was like, what are you doing? I don't care.
Screaming at you.
Me in my condition.
Absolutely. Now back to Lewis Bryant's email. He also said, there's anger at John for using the docks to dispose of Manit's body. That suggests connections to previous bodies there, but John most likely did this to send a message to AC12. Yes. Anyway, Lewis is on to Lisa being an undercover officer. You know, we saw her being shaky.
I think
she's very suspicious of John, but we might be, you know, we could be thinking that's, it could be led to believe that that's because she is a career criminal and she's on to him for being a rat. But it could be because she's looking for a moment to kind of fledge an alliance together. Do you know what I mean? I just think that she's suspicious of John because she notices things that only police people would do with him.
Yeah.
She's definitely a career criminal because she's been in it since the start. And I think Ryan is back in this season to show us maybe a comparison of someone that started young and grew up through it. And I think she definitely did. But there's nothing to say she wasn't recruited as a criminal, given immunity as they literally hand out for free from AC12 and recruited that way.
I have another theory about Ryan, guys. Okay. So did anyone else find this funny? I found this hilarious when they're talking about the officer who's at the phone box and, you know, who he is and all that. And
lovely coat on Steve.
Yeah, really nice bomber jacket. Very Brendan, wasn't
very
it?
Very me,
And that's definitely from All Saints. Anyway, so when Ryan is asked who is the police officer outside the phone box trying to trace Manit's last, you know, steps or whatever, Ryan goes, oh, it's Arnold. And
I just kept thinking of, like, it's too close almost. I'm like, is Ryan undercover? Just because, like, do you remember, you know, if you're on holidays when you're younger and you'd, like, go to Portugal or something and you go to the markets and they'd have, like, all the air taxes, Tony Hilfiger, you know what I mean? He's like, oh, it's, oh, Arnold or something like that. He's real straight. And I'm like, Ryan, that was a bit dodgy now. Are you an undercover officer? Because he was having burgers with some of the, remember in the first season?
Yeah, I like that. I really
like
that.
I wonder, Ryan now, is that a bit of a Ted Herring, you know?
I've got two more quick ones. Hargreaves and Sam, just want to bring them up really quickly. Hargreaves is obviously a H. He's obviously really dodgy. No attempts to hide how horrible he is to absolutely everyone. He's back on the case now. They were major violent crimes, but I think, are they murder squad now? They're a new department, the two of them.
Okay.
And Sam is Arnett's ex.
Yes.
Yes. She left him when he was arrested when Cotton set him up in season 3. Mm. And now she's trying to claw her way back in. But bitch, he's moved on. Phil J on Twitter says, H has got to be DCS Hargreaves' head of major crime. He was friends with Dryden. Remember in season 2, he didn't want AC-12 having evidence to the burnt out car. Murder Squad's Les Hargreaves reappeared in the season 5 premiere. He's a senior police officer and is called H. Bit suspicious. Then with Sam, Hargreaves is her boss. In the end of season 4, Jamie finds out that Hilton is involved. He jumps off to tip him off when the jig is up. And then a shot shows she jumps up just as fast.
So I was, my boyfriend started watching Line of Duty and he was on season 4 last week and I kind of came in with me past and sat down. I was like, I might as well watch this, you know, get a bit of a refresher. And it was the very final episode when they realise that Hilton is the top dog, or what they thought.
Yeah.
When they find that out, when they're questioning Roz Huntley, I think it was Roz Huntley, or else her lawyer. What was his name? The guy who was always going on about the balaclava men, who revealed that he was her husband's lawyer.
The lawyer
and hers.
The dodgy lawyer.
Oh, Jimmy Lakewell.
That's exactly it.
So once Hilton's mentioned, right, it's when you realise that Jamie is bent, because Jamie jumps up and he's the one who tips Hilton off.
Yeah.
But when I rewatched that scene, Jamie and Sam both jumped up at the same time.
Yeah.
And I wonder, why is she back in the series?
Back?
Why is she kissing Steve, being like, oh, only on the hairs of your chinny chin chin?
Yeah.
She's
that
trying to
so
get back
cringy.
In. And she gave, there was this ominous look when she was walking by, like walking out of that car. She kind of looked back. Mm. And it wasn't just like, oh, we kissed, maybe there's something there. It wasn't like any hope. It was dodgy. There was something dodgy about that look.
Also, Steve didn't pop any pills in this episode. He seemed to be grand with the back.
The back was all right this week.
Yeah, he does. And can we please go back to a minute for them? Reef and Cafferty out of the bed into AC-12 onto a plastic chair. Not a bother on her.
She was fine, wasn't she?
She couldn't move when your one Lisa came into the into the bedroom the first time.
Okay, I've got two or three more quick thoughts and theories from people. The Mellors on Twitter say that Cotton recruited Cafferty before he was uncovered. So that would explain that even, you know, if he's dead, she still could have pointed to that picture.
So
it could be Dot. But,
yeah,
but
there might be much more.
But he
more.
Is dead, yeah. Sinead Kyo sent us an email and says, don't think Hastings is H, but it's becoming increasingly difficult to deny he's any involvement. The man who called to his hotel saying he could help him with his financial difficulties is a fraud. Feel like he's involved with the gang who also helped that other police officer with his gambling
Sinead.
Debt and then manipulated him.
This
is how they're going to lure Hastings into working with the drug gang. Sinead also says, I think that it's more than a coincidence that Jackie Laverty, icon, was involved in dodgy property and that Hastings lost all his money through investing in property. I'm not sure how that ties in, but I have a feeling that we'll find out where Jackie's body is in this series.
Yes, Sinead.
She's coming out that breather.
One quick final shout out, and it's not really a thought or a theory, but it's the furthest away email we've got.
Yes.
Shout out to Jeannie or Ginny. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. A lot of her email refers to points from last week's show, but her email is the furthest one away we've received so far. 12,500 kilometres away. So thank you for listening from the Falklands.
Amazing. Some smaller characters to keep an eye on. Tatlene. Quite a few people suggest that she could be a bit dodgy. They're saying that on Twitter. Alison Powell. We know you really like her, Brendan, but John said that she had him chasing small fry and that she was scared that he'd uncover the truth.
Yes.
And then Ted's wife, as we said earlier, the new fella, question mark.
That scene where Kate led the officers into Alison Powell's office to take over Operation Pear Tree.
Oh, yeah. That was
so deadly, wasn't
it? See, that's Kate at her best.
Yeah,
she is a leader.
She's like,
but I just
bitch.
Wonder which side she's leading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so that is it for this week's Shrine of Judy. Just four more sleeps until Line of Judy episode 3. In the meantime, you can keep yourself occupied on our Twitter and Instagram accounts, both at Shrine of Judy. We'll of course be live tweeting the next episode on Sunday. Brendan, I think you're up.
My turn.
Oh, I'm going to have to do the recap next week. Bloody hell.
You can email us in the meantime your thoughts and theories to shrineofjudy@gmail.com. And if you feel so inclined, fellas, you can give us a rate and review on Apple Podcasts.
Oh, we'd really appreciate it.
Anything else you guys want to say?
No.
There isn't a trailer for next week's episode yet. But no. If you're bored, you can go on the BBC website, right? And you can talk to H directly. I did it earlier.
Oh, on the dodgy MSN chat?
On the MSN. It's actually a bot that's built in with Facebook Messenger. Really great creative team they have in BBC. It's actually a really good idea.
Were you trying to flirt with us?
I was like, hey, hon. And I wrote a kiss and everything. And
gorge jacket.
Literally. I was like, how are you? How's everything? The bot, he or she, we don't know, right, asks you a few questions about the previous week's episode.
Right.
And eventually, because I got them right, because I'm a DI now, he sent me a little clip of next week's episode.
Oh, come on. I haven't seen this. Sweating.
Well, I tell you. So, I answered a few of the questions correctly. At one point, the bot threw a bit of shade at me. He said, you're not as stupid as you look. I was like, my God, Adrian Dunbar, if it's you. Anyway, so this is the clip. Now, it isn't as exciting as what we got in the trailer last week, but it is a clip, right? It shows John Corbett / Clayton chatting to the OCG, planning a raid at Eastfield Depot.
Eastfield Depot is the depot from the very first episode, and it's where they keep all the like contraband.
All the confiscated drugs and stuff.
And those ambushes are trucks coming from Eastfield where they keep trying to destroy things, and John Corbett's gang, he's ambushing them and taking it.
And that's exactly what they're going to do next week. He explains that the depot is used by three police forces to store all of the good stuff they use in evidence and is one of the most securely guarded facilities in the area. John says that there's a couple dozen automatic rifles from last week's job that will help them get the firepower to get inside.
But no one will die.
Then Ryan pipes up, right? And he goes, oh, there's a routine pickup and they have a driver involved. John then reveals that the high level of the OCG have bent coppers in their pocket. So it's all organised, right? Now, this is where it gets interesting. Lisa pipes up now, right? And she questions John. She goes, you just said we had the firepower. Do you know what I mean? She's like, you just said we had the firepower. And then John quickly responds and he says, right, he says they need time to load the lorry and the best way to do that is to get in quietly and they can meet the inside men. So it's another thing, is John as clever as he thinks he is, Lisa is on to him.
Yeah, she's on to him.
She is, and all will be revealed on BBC One this Sunday at 9 p.m.
It's the polo neck and the blazer that throws me off though. She looks suspicious in a polo neck and a blazer.
She really does, doesn't she?
It's just the outfit. If she changed her clothes, I wouldn't even consider her.
Well, I guess we'll tune in on Sunday to find out.
We will find out. And in the meantime, you can chat to H on the BBC website and have a little chat with them. But he might insult you, so beware. I was sitting here earlier on, okay, looking at the Twitter notifications, and some guy tweeted us, his name is Andrew James, and he was like, Shrine of Duty, look what I did here. So I was like, right, this is a bit suspicious. This is very interesting. Clicked onto the link.
You have my attention.
He has set up a little blog page.
No.
Which is part, it's like a sub-series on his website called Dine of Duty, right?
No.
So basically he comes up with recipes for people to try and eat while they're being gripped by the BBC drama. So the first dish was last week's dish. It was a chili con carne, right? Apparently Dot gave Kate a bit of chili con carne in one episode, so he decided to come up with the recipe for it. Oh, so anyway, Dine of Duty.
Love that.
Absolutely brilliant.
Does he have the vegan options?
Oh, sorry. He actually
did
write.
Oh, you a vegan.
You a vegan. He wrote down at the end of the recipe, because I went through it all, because like, it looked actually, like it looks quite nice. Like Andrew's obviously a chef or like a food enthusiast. At the end, it's like.
Aren't we all?
Absolutely. At the end of the thing, he's like, oh, you can swap this out for corn.
Brendan, there you are now. Brendan, who gave me a lecture
on his new diet.
And I'd say about 15 minutes later, I went into the kitchen and working there. He is milling into a Philadelphia. I was like, Brendan, is that vegan Philadelphia? I didn't know they brought that out. He couldn't even look at me.
Oh, fake vegan.
Shrine of Duty.
There's only one thing I'm interested in. One thing only. And that's bent covers.
Shrine of Duty. The official, unofficial podcast.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.